Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. I'm Uncle Chaps, and my voice has changed drastically.
You got him.
Got your goose. It's me, Kate, joined by the lovely Captain Cons and Uncle Chaps. And we're just going to jump right into it because, not to make it about me, as I am wont to do, there is a huge national story happening from my hometown county right now. Danilo Cavalcante, the guy who crab walked up the wall, like parkour style, and has been on the loose for like 2 weeks now, he's still going. They still haven't caught that guy yet. And my retired parents are out in the car looking for his ass. Okay. They are out there. They're giving the cops tips. They're going by where all the media are. It's very.
God, that's got to be so fun. I love a good man.
Yeah, seriously.
Especially the vigilante justice community. Come on, man.
Well, also, as of last night, they thought they were closing in on him. Cavalcante spots an open garage with an unlocked 22 in it and goes right on in, and now he has a gun. So people, lock up your motherfucking guns, okay? Lock them up. All right, round number two. Kim Jong-un is running train. Who knew he was so spicy, guys? To visit Putin, that is. So we're going to hear about that visit really quickly. But more importantly, because I'm a nerd who loves trains and loves riding the trains, we're going to hear about the train.
Okay, great.
Okay. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, okay, go listen to some high-speed Special Forces podcast or something, because that's probably what you're going to do.
Kate texted me last night and was like, I got the sheet. And I was like, all right, here we go. Here we go.
Chugga. And finally, huge news for all the short kings out there. We've got a 4'7" Marine that just graduated from Paris Island, and apparently he absolutely crushed it. So it's not Spider. He still works at Barstool. People know.
Yeah, I really wish Nick was still on the show. That would have been beneficial to see how he could have done on some of those things.
Yeah, he probably would have crushed it too.
He's in great shape.
I feel like we always share. Troops post to social media when they're desperate, when things are really bad in their units. I have a couple good news items that people have shared of their units doing good things that are helpful and good. And so we're going to end on a positive vibes note.
That will be lovely.
Yeah, some good leadership examples. But now let's head over to Chester County, to my hometown, and find
that. But before we do that, this show is brought to you by our good friends at Track Phones. Are you paying too much for your wireless plan? Straight Talk just introduced a new Straight Talk multi-line plan where more lines mean more savings. It's just $25 a line per month when you get four lines with unlimited data, talk, and text on a nationwide 5G network, plus no contract, no hidden fees, and no compromise. That's the Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart and walmart.com. All right, let's go into the story, Kate. What do we got?
Yes. So the convicted killer who escaped from an Eastern PA prison nearly 2 weeks ago is now considered armed and extremely dangerous after he stole a rifle from an open garage who fired 7 shots at him. The homeowner heard him, came running out with their gun, fired 7 shots at the guy, missed him completely 7 times. Just saying, that sounds like an Army veteran to me. Marine would have hit him. Anyways, and the fugitive still got away with the gun. For a quick refresher, Cavalcante was being held at Chester County Prison, about 30 miles outside Philly, right where I grew up. Home of Bam Margera. I drove by this prison all the time growing up, and I feel like you get like complacent about it. I never felt, you always just assume like nobody's getting out of these suckers.
Well, I'm looking at the picture of this, and if I'm looking at the correct one, as far as prisons go, and granted, I've never been to prison.
Don't kick them while they're down, Cons. They're going through it. They don't need to.
I'm sorry. They need to reevaluate their structure and their mechanisms for housing inmates, because it doesn't look all that difficult to escape from. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I feel like Andy Dufresne would have a cakewalk with this place.
He wouldn't have to dig through doo-doo. All this guy did was what we all did.
Excellent
in the hallways
use
of our
doo-doo,
house.
Kate.
Thank you. Remember as a kid, you'd put your feet on one wall and your hands on the other and climb up, and your mom would be like, get down from there. You're going to get handprints on the wall. In between the door frames. That's literally what he did to escape. He like did the fifth grader climbing up my door frame thing. And another inmate, he knew to do it because another inmate had escaped that way. And there was no barbed wire on the roof. So the prison's thing was like, oh, well, we'll just put some barbed wire on the roof. When has barbed wire ever stopped anybody?
Not whenever you get a life in prison conviction.
Right. This guy was put in. He was only put in. He was got there like a week ago for his lifetime conviction. And it took him like a week to get out. So anyway, he is there because of the first degree murder and the killing of his former girlfriend, 33-year-old Deborah Brandau. And he stabbed her to death in front of her small child. Like, this is a seriously evil, bad man. Mm-hmm. And he's also accused of killing someone in his home country of Brazil. And they say he murdered her because she had info about the murder he did back in Brazil or something like that. To, like, keep her quiet. So this is like a seriously bad guy who won't think twice about killing someone. Anyway, he was spotted on Monday night about 20 miles north of the prison. Authorities found footprints in the mud that were identical to his prison shoes, and they tracked the prints and found the shoes. At about 10:10 p.m., and this is all last night, police received a call from a resident who said there was a man in his garage who grabbed a rifle in the corner. If you know there's an escaped convict in your area, shut your garage and lock up your fucking rifle.
But you never think it's going to be you. And I have a question.
Right, like, what are the odds?
I have a question for the group as we go through this, because you guys know I love a good escape convict story. And I typically am on the record of saying that if you escape, you should be able to go free. Like, I feel like that should be how I want to put aside what he actually did. Can we do that? Like, put aside what he did and just approach it from somebody who is I have an aficionado. No, I'm not an aficionado. I have a deep appreciation for escaping from prison. Just based on movies, like Andy Dufresne. Yeah.
Shawshank Redemption got to all of us. I think a little part of all of us thinks we could eventually out of the slam we're doing. I'm just saying. So anyway, the homeowner hears him in the garage, runs out with their pistol, fires seven times, misses him. About 500 law enforcement officers. And now I'm seeing, it looks like National Guard troops are being sent combing through the woods now too. They're getting the military involved. 500 law enforcement officers, including the PA State Police, FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshals, are searching the area. I need a police call. I need 500 for a police call right now. They have set up a perimeter. They're searching everywhere. It's a large wooded area, hilly terrain. I grew up there, and it's like the forests are no joke. Like the underbrush.
Deciduous forest,
And the pricklies and the whatever. My mom got us lost on a walk once at Hibernia Park. And she thought we were going to die. My brother and I were toddlers, and we got all tangled in the brambles and whatever. I'm just saying, it's no small beans, not to make it about myself.
No, big beans.
Anyway, police also sent several reverse 911 calls to people within 3 miles, warning them of the danger. Imagine getting, you're asleep, you have your family in the house, and you get a call at 2 a.m. from the police being like, just a heads up, there's a convict with a 22 rifle in your neighborhood.
One of Alex's girlfriends, they spotted him in her neighborhood, and they got alerted that they spotted him in her neighborhood. Yeah.
And he's desperate. He's desperate now.
Right.
So
what I will say, I think you're safe, you know, relatively if you're out there in the day, because from what I see, it looks like he's only moving at night, which, you know, credit to this guy, smart, only moving in darkness. He looks like he's hiding during the day, making moves during the night. So I would, just lock your doors.
I have a dog handler question, chaps. Mm-hmm. I'm real disappointed in these sniffer dogs because I thought they were foolproof.
That's the official name of them too.
They have his clothes. They have his shit. How are they not finding this guy? What are those dogs doing?
I think it's a lot like what's going on with that jail. Like, it's just not satisfactory.
Yeah.
Like, I worked with so many different civilian police department dogs, and by and large, they're just basically a psychological deterrent. I mean, you could see even in like some of those police videos that go viral where the dog like keeps biting somebody and keeps like attacking, or they won't go. The training is just not the same. They should honestly bring in the Marines.
They should, because again, not shitting on the Army again in this segment, but the National Guard hasn't found them.
And all that. Yeah.
They should hit them up. But anyway, a bunch of schools in the area are closed today. People are probably on edge as hell knowing that he has a rifle now. I think that person who left it open in their garage should maybe be tarred and feathered in the town square, neither here nor there. But also too, like, this guy, he got out of the prison. He went to Longwood Gardens, which used to be owned by the DuPont family. And is my parents belong there. I grew up going there. It's like mazes upon mazes upon mazes, like 800 acres of nothing but the most boonies of shit. Then he goes up, he steals a dairy farm van on like a few days in, and it goes up to Phoenixville. Not to make it about me, my Irish relatives own a great bar there, Molly Maguire's. Go check it out sometime.
There's so I think what we need the Mannion family at large to come together. Okay, all 13 brothers and sisters, all children. And I think that would suffice in terms of beefing up the search party.
Just link arms and Red Rover.
Arm to arm, hands across America with the Mannions.
We're just going to Red Rover them in.
And then he goes out towards Kennett Square. The Mushroom Festival in Kennett Square is going on right now. I've been hammered drunk there before. I'm not trying to make it about me.
And
I'm
this just is just eating mushrooms. This ain't mushroom goofing.
No, this ain't mushroom goofing, but... I can't. So now I'm following all these accounts that like are tracking the helicopters in the area. And every time the helicopters start swirling small, they're like, they're about to get them. This is it. They're about to get them. And then another day goes by and they haven't got them. And I'm just like, whatever. So another part of this story. Oh, you thought I was done. I'm so into it. They're having trouble now with vigilantes. Because there is a $25,000 reward for information. I am seeing videos. It was a dad with his kids, the gun racks, open top Jeep, and they're driving around. Maybe this was maybe before he had the 22. And they're like, we want that 25K. It's like, people cannot. My parents sent me a text yesterday with four photos. They're like, we couldn't help it. We went driving around a little bit. Like, people cannot help themselves but to go and like sniff around. Now, it's probably different now that he has a gun, but I just wanted to read this too, because this is very much I wish a motherfucker would energy. Mm-hmm. Ryan Davis sat for hours in the parking lot of a Wawa in northern Chester County on Sunday.
Ripping heaters in that car.
Ripping heaters. The 45-year-old drove all the way up from Maryland to operate his drone. What you're looking for is movement, he said. No shit, dude. No shit.
When you're looking for people, the number one thing you do is you look for a person. That's all I'm saying.
You're looking for a body, a human one with limbs. Lieutenant Colonel, and God bless, this is when I think of like the state police being like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, oh my God. George Bivens of the PA State Police has denounced any vigilantism or amateur sleuths, saying citizens participating have no authority and at this point they could face consequences.
He went too far. They are not. I think he can't denounce. I think you got to discourage, but a complete denouncing, that's not something that I could get on board with.
Well, I agree with you. He didn't rebuke them, chaps. He didn't rebuke.
Well, you have true, all these but that's people. One step below.
You have all these people who see this probably as their civic duty to help capture this person. It's basically free help, all right?
And it's basically, you know, they like might us after 9/11.
More or less. You know, they're just kind of, you know, maybe not following protocols, doing as they please. Hopefully they're being safe, following some safety.
Captain Khan's out there, give them a safety brief before they
seriously
do it.
One safety brief and these people are good. Just hey, blast folks out a safety brief.
Hey, Khan, stand in the tree dogs, line and up scream for this guy to kick rocks.
Yeah. What you're gonna do right now is you're gonna get that Marine, that volunteer, that vigilante to your left or to your right, and you're gonna make sure that you stay with them at all times. Good to go. What we're not gonna do is we're not gonna bring out our own 22 and go hunting. Good to go. Before we engage, we need to get on that damn radio and communicate back to higher, okay? Okay.
I mean, this is all the right, dream for like local militias. This is what they so this lieutenant colonel of the PAC police has said. They're not helping us in any way. And in fact, they've become a hindrance. Ooh. Some of our resources, he's saying some of their resources are now diverted to dealing with all the vigilantes that have shown up. he said, it's not helpful.
A bunch of PFC Winters. Excuse me, Sheriff, what do we do?
I just can't wait till we get the picture. And it's some local yokel who like finds him in a hole like Saddam and just tweets out, "We got him."
Yeah. So I just went to see what was going on, said Chuck Wolcott, a 46-year-old who drove over from Salisbury Township. I was basically sitting back watching the police, seeing what they were doing, talking to the officers. I'm sure the officers saw Chuck walking up and were like, "God fucking damn it. Enough."
Chuck's got again, both of his hands in his pocket, swaying back and forth. "Hey, we about to get him? We getting closer?"
Well, this was my parents yesterday, driving real slow by all the groupings of police car. I'm like, "Go home." Anyway, this is the last part. Debbie Shaw, age 66, prowled around while her outsized mastiff Bubba tugged at the leash in her hand. She claims she found tracks leading through a cornfield that must be Cavalcante's. "People don't do that around here because that is farmer's gold," she said of the corn. When Shai,
I kind of believe
in the cornfields when I was a kid. I don't know.
Kate, that's farmer's gold.
When Shaw went to tell a nearby state trooper, and I can just see, here comes 66-year-old Debbie with her mastiff Bubba coming up to the cops. And they're once again, they're like, "Oh my God, stop it." She said she told them, but her tip fell on deaf ears. She wasn't surprised, saying her trust in law enforcement among locals is low. So these cops are up against, like,
I feel bad. Yeah, imagine for
you're trying to, you know, search for this fugitive all the while dealing with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in Delco wanting to be a hero. It's got
to
be a lot.
I'm sure a lot of Delco folks are driving over to Chester County for this one. I'm sure they're, now that he has a gun, they're probably more than anything. They're like, "Let's fucking go."
All right. What's your ideal outcome, Kate?
I think they're going to kill him. I think they're finally going to spot him in the woods and they're just going to start fucking blasting, especially since he has a rifle at this point. Unless he comes running out, hands up, completely nude, he's fucking dead. And I think it will happen. I want to say, I'm like, it's got to be today that they catch him. But I've been saying that for like a week now. And people were sharing the county or whatever that he's from in Brazil is extremely rural.
Oh, and so he's well-versed.
They're like, he grew, like, this guy fucking knows how to, but he's got to be hungry. It's been cold at night and raining. Like, he's got to be at the end of his rope too. And now
he's
that
going
all the
through different, like, garages and stuff, he'd probably be able
to people got garage
food.
Fridges. Yeah, absolutely. Sees an open garage with a fridge. Gets
but
a
the
few
hardest
highlights.
Part, one thing, and it's, we've talked about it a million times where it's harder to get away with a crime now. Back in the day, this dude is gone. He's a ghost.
Yeah, you've never seen him again.
Because now they have like trail cameras, the Ring cameras that have picked him up, the little heres and theres.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that doesn't happen. This dude's in the wind. Which
I also
is a phrase
thinking,
I absolutely
when he,
love.
When he got a hold of that farm van, he only drove up to like Phoenixville with it. If I was him, I would have, I think he was trying to find his sister who was, she's like a maid. She did cleaning service. And they don't think he ended up finding her, got a hold of her, but they're deporting her now because she's not being helpful with the investigation. And all the people whose homes that she cared for were speaking to the news saying they're paranoid because she's got the layout of their homes and she could tell.
That's him. A fair point.
I mean,
is it though?
That's scary.
I mean, does the layout of a home in Westchester really make you more
technically let me tell
proficient?
You. No. Let me tell you something. I heard a story 2 weeks ago. Friends of my in-laws, they had people doing work in their homes. They're very wealthy, well-to-do family. And I guess they were recently robbed and their safe got cracked into. So somebody came in with the tools that you need to crack into a safe. You don't just randomly walk into houses with safes and happen to have the tools. So that person knew that safe was there, cracked into it and stole from them. And that's they had workers in and out all the time doing renovations on their house. So somebody tipped off their buddy. So I don't think it's that crazy to think that this woman could be relaying to her brother like, "Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they got a safe. There's $50,000. I'll open it for you when I clean it or something." And then he's home free because he's able to get out of the country. I don't know.
We should do that. We should get a safe and see how long it would take us to break into it.
I don't know where I would start.
YouTube. Forever. That's where I would start. I would love to give, like, maybe we could have that as a competition where we put a safe, it's got $10,000 in it, and the winner at Barstool who is able to get it open the fastest, like each one of us have our own little ones, you get to keep it.
I'm afraid Billy would bring in explosives or something that would harm everyone. I don't know. I can't.
That's fair. That was but a anyway, terrible idea by me.
We'll keep you updated. I think today's the day, and I think he gets shot in the woods. I think they take him out. I think he goes out. I think he's got nothing left to lose, and I think he's going to go out swinging. So hopefully all the locals are okay and just following along. So,
and one of the best ways you can make sure that you're okay is with our friends at BetterHelp. Zero Block 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel that you're just not able to fall asleep? Your brain suddenly won't stop talking. Do your thoughts start racing right before bed or at other inopportune moments? It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. We've all talked about it ad nauseum that we all like therapy. We go to therapy. I've been involved with the same therapist forever, and it was actually very sad when I had to leave Texas because you can only practice in certain states, and my therapist didn't have a license up here. So I had to go back, and I'm still using BetterHelp. So I went through two or three different therapists so far with BetterHelp here, but I finally found one about 2 weeks ago that I really enjoy. And that's what makes BetterHelp so great, because you can change at any time if you're not feeling that vibe. Like that one time that Kate had a weird old dude that basically told her that she needed to put on makeup to feel better about herself.
Part of wearing it, yeah. Have you tried makeup?
Oh, yeah.
That was not through BetterHelp. That was my
first
mistake.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, so that wouldn't have happened with BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. Let's move on to round number two. Catherine, what do we have there?
Chugga, 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 choo, choo. Big time trip for Lil' Kim. He's on the move. The bulletproof train carrying Kim Jong-un crossed the border into Russia as the North Korean leader made his way to a summit with President Vladimir Putin. And this does feel, because that guy doesn't go nowhere.
No,
he doesn't go anywhere.
Not without his golden toilet, at least.
He was probably so excited for this trip. He was probably so excited to go on this thing. Anyway, yeah, he couldn't sleep the night before. He was texting all his girlfriends being like, oh my God, I can't believe it's tomorrow. The green and gold train traveling north in Primorye, longtime stoolies in Primorye, the Far
East.
It is
beautiful though, right? The train is very attractive.
Oh yeah, it's very good. That guy from Britain who does the train videos with the camera in front of his face, he would go nuts seeing this thing.
He would nut over that.
He would nut all over it. Anyway, heading to the Vladivostok area. The train appeared to match images released on Monday by the Korean Central News Agency, North Korea state-run media. So basically they're saying, we never trust what North Korea is saying, but we've actually confirmed it ourselves. That train is moving. U.S. officials said discussions have advanced between the two countries about a possible plan for North Korea to supply weapons to Russia. I feel like, you know, you're in a kind of weird spot, a tough spot as Russia when you're asking North Korea for help.
Yeah, I was reading about that this morning, that it's so embarrassing on the world stage for him to have to like grovel to North Korea for weapons.
Yeah, I read that like three times. So I was like, wait, is North Korea is asking Russia for weapons, right? And it's like, no, the other way around. South Korea officials said the train was expected to cover 683 miles in about 20 hours, a timeline which included a long stopover at the Russia-North Korea border. And this train, guess how fast it goes? 683 miles, 25 miles an hour. That's the max speed of this sucker.
Like, well, I'm pretty sure they went faster than that monorail. The turn of the century, two centuries ago.
That's like speed of the tram at Newark.
It goes real slow. One time I took an old school train from the boonies of Western Pennsylvania to Harrisburg to meet my brother to go on this like trip. And it was one of those. It was one of those trains that goes like 25 miles an hour. And I wanted to like, I should have called BetterHelp. I was having a tough time sitting on that train. This was before smartphones. And I just had my thoughts and it took forever. Anyways, when they got to Russia, they had to switch wheels on the train to fit Russian railway tracks. I imagine that takes a while too.
We need universal train tracks, I think. How do we not have that?
How do we not have that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Kim has rarely left North Korea since he took power in 2011. His most recently documented international trips were in 2019 when he stepped over the border into South Korea to visit Donald Trump. And that was considered an international trip. Bloop, bloop, just back and forth. Yeah. And now traveling to Russia via train. It's the same train that his father and grandfather used. Basically, this thing is ancient. The train has 10 to 15 carriages each, which are only used by the leader, such as a bedroom. But then there's other train cars for security and medical staff. The country's archaic rail network means the train, once again, and all trains throughout the country, 25 miles an hour. Okay, you're going snail's pace wherever you're going. In the 2002 book Orient Express, Russian officials described a three-week journey to Moscow by Kim Jong II, Kim Jong-un's dad. In that train, they ordered cases of Bordeaux and Beaujolais wine. They had that shit flown in from Paris, live lobsters. They basically, as soon as they got out of Korea, they stopped that train and they're like, we're fucking partying all the way to the middle of Russia. And they had themselves a fucking time. So I'm wondering if Kim Jong-un is also, as soon as they crossed the border, I wonder if he was also ordering in the big leagues.
Probably not, because he's got gout from all that cheese. He's been a big cheese head lately. I don't know if you guys knew that, but the amount of exports of cheese into or imports into North Korea is at an all-time high. And that's because he's a cheese head.
Well, I heard he ordered NFL Red Zone on the train, and so he might be a Green Bay guy.
Yeah, he's a huge Packers fan, for sure.
For all we know. But anyway, dumb story, nothing crazy, but I was just excited to hear that he left the country. I feel like it's a big deal. And
I was talking trains.
I was talking trains. And round number three, we have a 4'7" Marine. I think I've been on the record as saying that the shortest Marine I've ever saw, that was a male, was about 5'2", and it threw me for a loop. I cannot imagine going to boot camp at 4'7". I think I told the story one time where I used to do, one of my favorite parts about being a dog handler, we would go to elementary schools around, like the base schools and the different middle schools, and do demonstrations where the kids would get to see the dogs. They would come out and watch us do different things, and they would think it was really cool. Well, one time we were at this school, and this person came out of the school wearing camouflage and came up to my guy Dockrell, who's been on the show a bunch of times. He hates when I use his actual name on the show, but this is him and he deserves it. So he came out of the school, and there's this guy that was a little bit shorter than us, like probably 5 inches shorter than Doc. And he came up, and Dockrell started standing at parade rest and was like, "Good morning, Gunner Sergeant." And it was a gunny ROTC.
Like a high school kid, like a little kid.
So I was like, that would be the shortest Marine of all time, Doc. How could you possibly think that person is a gunny with how old he looks? He was like, I don't know, dude. I'd rather just be fucking careful. How about that?
Yeah, man. That's a good, it's always, you want to err on the side of caution with that. But I mean, like a 4 foot,
because if it was a gunny and he was like, I thought you were a child.
Yeah, that'd be way more insulting. But 4'7", what's that, like a fourth grader, fifth grader? I mean, when are you 4'7"? I can't even think.
Yeah, I don't even know what 4'7" looks like. Cardi is very short for their age, and they're currently 4'3". So 4 inches taller than McCartney, who is tiny as shit.
Yeah, you gotta think though, like he's like the, whatever company he goes to, he's like the mascot, and everybody loves him. Strictly,
or he's a badass. He proves himself and works his ass off, because he knows if not, he's going to get so much shit. So he's got to be, I bet he is going to be one of the smart, like, knows his shit, is tactically and technically proficient.
Well, that's what happened here. And by the way, this guy is 4'7", this Marine, because he graduated Paris Island, he made it through. 4'10" is considered dwarfism, anything 4'10" and below. So this is the first, a dwarf, little person, I guess. I don't know what the correct, to make it through Paris Island. He said his peers treated him with respect and were motivated by his own motivation. I think they kind of looked up to me in a way, Leprad said. I had one recruit, now a Marine, who told me that I was his motivation. And it's true. You see people like that crushing it when you're down on yourself, and you're like, if they can do it, I know I can do it too. Like that.
Like
is
when there's one thing. Big fatty, like if you have a fatty in your unit and then they start taking their health seriously and they become not a fatty and come in real good shape, you're like, look, if Fatty Johnson can do it, Fatty Cawthron can do it too.
I had an E4 that I worked him out when we were in Iraq. We were deployed. He was unbelievable, so squared away. And the only thing keeping him from getting promoted to, you know, E5 sergeant was his weight. So we worked him out, lost a ton of weight, made sergeant right away.
Yeah. And this, they said, you know, all the obstacle courses at Parris Island, Chaps, they said the drill instructor said he got over them with little to no trouble. And if you're one of the taller guys in that recruit class and you're having trouble, you look at that and that's motivating as fuck, just out of shame alone. You're like, shit, LaProd did it. I better fucking get my shit together and get over this thing.
I bet they had brutal nicknames for him though.
Probably some that were funny though.
Oh yeah. The one part he said was tough was the hikes. He said little legs with little body weight, a lot of weight in the pack and a lot of miles on the hike. That was the hardest part for me, the hikes, but he still did it. And he's going
to
be.
The packs had to be hitting him in like the fucking knees, right? Like
yes, hit him in like, be...
legit. Because it would hang down past my ass a little.
He graduated. He did it. He made it through the crucible, all that stuff. If you see him doing that and you're at the end of your wits, you keep on fucking going. I almost feel like every unit should have a super motivated smaller person who's crushing it. I don't know. Anyway, he's going to be a logistics Bubba.
Okay.
So, and it's like, so perfect. You don't have to be like a fucking brute to do logistics. You just got to be.
He could be a recon guy. Put him out there as a little scout in his tiny little ghillie suit.
I really like that. But anyway, that's it for today. I just want to close it out on some good vibes things.
Okay.
A couple good vibes things. One, shout out to Specialist Bernard Keter. I don't know how you spell it. K-E-T-E-R. His ACFT in the Army, 2 mile run. Guess how fast?
8 minutes. 2 4-minute miles.
10 minutes and 17 seconds, just days after winning a silver medal at the U.S. Track and Field Outdoor Championships in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. I always think it's so cool. I forget that, like, troops can do cool-ass shit outside.
Yeah, the Army, we have the world-class athletes program for all the Olympic athletes, and a lot of them are stationed out in Colorado Springs where they train at the Olympic facility there, and then they just they spend their time in the Army training for handball or the freaking bobsled. I have buddies who have gone through this program. It is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But shout out to that specialist for being in all the troops that were involved in the U.S. Track and Field Outdoor Championships and all that kind of stuff. I think that's cool. And then this one, this is from U.S. Army What the Fuck Moments, and their caption on it was, and this is how it should be done. This was a text message that went out to the entire unit, straight from First Sergeant. Hey guys, some of your soldiers' kids might have their first day of school tomorrow. I know that's the case for a few already. I think taking your kids to their first day of school is priority over PT and any awards ceremony. I am willing to take that dick punch all day. Please let your soldiers know that taking their kids to the first day of school is high priority and one that will be accommodated.
Hell yeah.
More of that, please. Because
it's so easy.
I was seeing there was another post going around this week about a troop who got their unit in trouble because they left their children in the car while they ran their PFT because they didn't know what else to do with their children, and their unit gave them no other options and they panicked. That is an example of garbage leadership.
Yeah.
This is an example of great leadership. Do what you have to do to be there for your children. When you're there for your family and you feel good about yourself as a parent, you're probably functioning much better at work.
Big time.
And overall, that has a better thing. So more of that.
You only have legit, like taking your kids to school day. That happens 3 times, maybe. Like you get
they get to a certain age, you don't do that anymore.
Second grade is pushing it. Third grade, it's done. So you really only have a couple times in your kid's life to make that happen.
Yes. And this first sergeant is right. He or she is right that is the priority, man. If I would feel sick to my stomach missing that if I was home and we weren't doing anything crazy and sorry, you got to miss your kid's
just another day of PT.
Yeah,
just another day of PT would be stupid.
Yep. So I hope more leadership takes that kind of attitude towards families and stuff like that. I've been seeing a ton of posts lately about daycare opening times and people having to be super early for PT and being like, what do I do with my kids? And it's craziness. That is a huge failure of leadership. So kudos to this first sergeant. More of
that. Kudos. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Oh, thank goodness. Army bounced back. Huge win this weekend. And now upcoming this weekend, we have the annual ZBT Bowl. The UTSA Roadrunners against Army. UTSA opened it like a 14-point favorite. I think and now the most recent line I saw was 8.5-point favorite. It's interesting to see how things have flopped because years ago, the first time we played, Army was the favorite. And now that, you know, things have changed. So I'm interested to see how that game goes on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, it's on Friday?
Yeah, Friday night.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Little football chat by me real quick. Were you guys watching last night, the Jets game?
Yeah, yes. It's really, really sad. It's so sad. Like, I'm not a Jet fan. I'm a Giant fan, but I was really excited because Rodgers is, you know, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And I was so curious to watch him play this year and see what he was going to be able to do with the Jets. And I mean, after that entrance on 9/11 with Rodgers running out with the American flag in the spotlight. And I was talking to Nick Mangold. He said the stadium hasn't felt that alive for a Jet game in a decade. And to see it all go down the drain on the fourth play.
It lasted horrible. 5 minutes.
Yeah. Horrible.
Crazy. And I'm like not a huge sports person, shocker, but like I was also curious to see how he did. Like I was really kind of interested, and then it was like
I was too.
Shit, yeah. Dude. Oh my god. So anyway.
Anything else, Cons?
No, sir.
All right, Catherine.
I've been pooping.
Let's go.
Last week was woe is me. My world is falling apart. I feel like I'm at like 78% now, which is the best I have felt
in this whole show.
Nope. It's the best I felt. I'm still stuffed up. I'm still like hacking here and there, but oh my God, it's been like over a month. And so any inch of feeling better feels incredible.
Oh, I bet.
So I feel like I'm finally climbing out of the weeds and I've been, and you know what it is? A big part of it, I think, that the Marine in me failed. I haven't been hydrating like I should have been. I'm making myself drink two of these a day. I'm going to do this till I get water poisoning. Okay. As soon as I started chugging two of these a day, say it, the dookie started flowing. Okay. So,
Kate, can you show me your wrists? Because I was just curious. Oh, yeah. No watch. That's what I thought. You don't own a watch, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I was late to the show today.
All right. Here's mine. There's yesterday. Was 9/11, so obviously there's a bunch of memorial stuff going around, and I found one that I wanted to read to you guys because it starts off touching and then just wait how it ends. So a dude named Bill Elmore, he says, I was booked on United Flight 93 on 9/11 2001, flying nonstop from Newark to San Francisco, California. Around midnight before a coworker called urging me to change my flight to fly to San Jose. This mean I had to give up my first class seat and move to a flight that left 20 minutes later from the same gate with a stopover in Denver. I was very reluctant, but I did it. When I got to the airport, I watched people boarding flight 93 and I was upset that I was not leaving earlier in my first class seat on a direct flight. I didn't notice or care about the people as they were boarding, only myself. When I finally boarded my plane, we were 7 planes behind flight 93. We were 3 planes away from taking off, and the pilot told us to look out the right side of the plane because it appeared the Twin Towers had been hit by a plane. I thought it might have been a small casino until then. I saw the second plane strike the other tower. We were grounded just before taking off. I changed that day, and now I take every opportunity to get to watch and, if possible, get to know the people I'm boarding a plane with. I'll never hesitate to give up my seat for a later flight if requested. I've had 2 children since 9/11 and went to multiple mission trips to war-torn countries. Every day I wake up breathing is another gift from God. Never forget. And then another, which is a great little tribute, right? And then the next one, the reason my coworker told me to change my flight was that she took the same flight on 9/10, and the commute from San Francisco to Mountain View would make me late for my meeting, whereas traveling from San Jose to Mountain View would be faster in the morning. Another dude chimed in to ask a question, and he said, she saved your life with advice, which you followed. What happened to your coworker? The guy's very next tweet. Sad to say, I ultimately had to fire her for her poor performance. It was very difficult. I
saw that.
Jesus Christ.
Right. And then in the next tweet, there's another tweet, Kate.
I thought you were going to say that wholesome shit and then close out the show. And then.
No, the next one, he goes on to say, it was months later, and she was ultimately the reason I was booked on 93 to begin with, because she wasn't doing her job well. I delayed it as long as possible. God saved a man that day by using a donkey.
Jesus, that's horrible. That's horrible.
I was reading the story and I was like, man, those coincidences. Like Nick, like his dad didn't go to work that day. And like you hear those kind of stories all the time. And then the second one, my jaw dropped. I was like, I don't care what happens with that lady. She's got to have a job for life, right? Like you can't do that.
My God.
I know. Sorry to end the show that way. Sound the retreat.